Blog Talk Radio.
Promise never to leave me lonely, so this is what I'm going to do. I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you, Lord. I will put my trust in.
Intellectually, he likes for us to be
humbled when we are used by him and when we approach him, Lord have mercy. Because sometimes when we do what we think we ought to do, that is at times when we disrespect God. Sometimes we just got to get out of our own way and let God. You see, we sing that song, but we don't practice it. Let God, let go and let God. We love that song when it first came out, and we just was worshiping all over the world. We were crying, snotting, and all of that. And after a while, we realized that, wait a minute, I can do these things too. We cannot get it twisted. I don't want to get ahead of myself, that even though we are strong, even though that we have the capability, we still need to move through God.
Amen.
Christ was a great example. Everything that he had done and said, he did it as it was told to him to do. And remember when he was captured and he told him, if I wanted to, I can call down my boys, Lord have mercy. I can call down the legion of angels if I wanted to. So in other words, Christ was saying, I got power within myself, but I can't do nothing, Lord have mercy, unless God give me the say-so. So I think today's topic, I love preaching on simple subjects. My topic, the name of it may be, but it's a simple subject. We're going to talk about unstaggering faith. Unwavering faith. I think this is very, very simple because I can hear folks in my ear say, oh, I got faith, and I walk by faith and not by sight. But we're going to journey through scriptures thanks to the Apostle Paul and see, unless we are fully covered, we won't yield complete victory. Lord have mercy. I'm not talking about victory only in one area. I'm talking about complete victory in every area of our life. And we can't get beside ourselves, or we shouldn't think that we cannot walk in complete victory. So we're going to travel through scriptures and realize that unless we are fully covered, we cannot walk in complete victory. Amen.
Amen.
We're still on our mission, the mission to revive God's people. The word revive simply means to return to consciousness of life, to become active and flourish again, to restore from a depressed or inactive or unused state. I like this right here, to bring back. So we're in a position, those of us that God is allowing to be a fresh wind to the people, we have been strategically positioned. Can I say that again? We have been strategically positioned to bring folk back, to breathe life back into them. He tells Ezekiel, what do you see? Lord have mercy. And when we begin to study that, he was in a vision, but it was of a vision of a valley of dry bones, dead people, bones that didn't have any life. And here I can see Ezekiel looking at God. In other words, what do you want me to do? And at that time, I realized upon studying that Ezekiel was a fresh wind to the people, because God not only told him to command the wind, he told him to speak life back into my people. So there are some people that God has strategically placed and anointed them, filled them with his spirit to be able to speak life back into his people. So thus we will stay on this mission until God changes it. We are on a mission set out to revive God's people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here we have lyrics from a song by Justin Rizzo. Some of the lyrics I wrote down, I wanted to share. It says, I want to be unmovable. Lord have mercy. I want to be unmovable and unshakable. So let my roots go down deep, unmovable and unshakable in you. Lord, do I have a witness? Let's do.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that wants to be so deep in God that when the wind blows, it's as if it's not blowing, because it does not affect our stance on in the Lord?
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, and I want to be like a tree, Lord have mercy, planted by the streams of living water.
Uh-huh.
And it must have got real good, because he repeated it and he said, and I want to be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Similar to the scripture say that I shall be as a tree planted. Lord, have mercy. So when we begin to look at the fullness of who we are a tree here. Well, not only are we the oracles of God, of the mouthpieces of God, but we are as a tree. Not only are we are like sheep that are led astray, he has given us leadership. He has given us authority with the kingdom. I can hear and understand why the angels there ask God, who is man?
Yeah.
What is it about this creation that you created, that you are so mindful, Lord, have mercy. And I thank God that he just didn't go off on the angels, but I love the response, the subtle response, the simple response. Can I paraphrase it? He said, I see myself in, Lord, have mercy. I see myself in them. So I thank God that when he looks over, he sees himself in us. What I'm going to share with you today is only a suggestion. I'm not saying this is what you need to do, this is what you should do, only giving you a suggestion, an evoking of sorts, a calling forth or a calling up to bring, Lord, I love this right here, to bring to mind a recollection. And when I was preparing for this right here, Sister Shaperia, I realized that what we go over day in or week in or month in or year in within the Bible, we've already heard it before. So we're simply being reminded of how we ought to do things. Some folk get in their little ways, they get stubborn, and they don't want to go back and redo some things that they should have been doing from the beginning. Amen. So we here are only going to bring back to your memory of how things should be so that we can walk in our complete victory.
Amen.
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 Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Very familiar passage, very familiar text. We're going to talk about the whole armor
of God.
Of God.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Amen.
Get a drink right quick. Excuse me, y'all.
Chapter 6, starting the 13th verse.
Ephesians. Y'all got to excuse me. I tell you, I was, well, they had me off the chain last night. Amen. We had the musicians back here playing the keyboard and the drums, and you know, some musicians can push a preacher, and I let him push me too, amen?
Amen.
And I said, I forgot I got to preach tomorrow. We used to go out back in the day not concerned about Sunday, amen?
Uh-huh.
Amen. I would party sometimes from Thursday to Saturday, then we would use the Sunday as the Sabbath. Amen. That would be our rest to recuperate before Monday if we got to go back to work. Amen. So I messed around. I was partying like it was 99. And I said, wait a minute, let me calm down a little bit because I got to minister on today. But nevertheless, I thank God for teaching and preaching power. And I made a sacrifice unto God. If I did it in the world when I had a whole lot of fun when I was out there, I told him I would do it in here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I understand that sometimes we come down just bombarded and things are really heavy on us. And then if the music is not good, if the singing is not excellent, we probably won't move. But I come in with a song on my lips and a praise in my feet already. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because of who God is. See, once we get to a place in God, it does not matter what's going on in the world. We have memory. We have recollection of who God is.
Yeah.
See, I know some of these things sound very cliche because everybody says it, but now it's time for us to look and see, are they bearing fruit? What kind of fruit are they bearing? I hear people planting you. We cannot dare tell anybody that they don't love Christ, that they don't love God, or that they don't have faith. And that is of a truth. We don't have that right. However, I'm going to take a step back and see how your life is.
Yeah.
We are epistles, written, walking epistles to be read of men. In other words, some people may not pick up the Bible until after they see you.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to understand that there's two facets of faith. There's the world's faith, and then there's the faith of God.
Uh-huh. Amen.
There you go.
It wouldn't make any sense because Habakkuk would say that the just shall live by his faith. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, his faith. See, when we begin to get into his will, we need to do things his way and live how he wants us to live and by his faith.
Amen.
Because his faith always produces, Lord have mercy. He said, let there be, and whatever, Lord have mercy. Y'all have to picture this right here. He, because the Bible says that it was void. No, it was void. It was nothing. But when he spoke, something started happening. And when we walk in that faith and in that courage and confidence, whenever we speak, something has to happen.
Yeah.
I believe it's Romans 4:17 that we get the description, and they're talking about the conversation that he spoke things that wasn't into existence. And I understand that when we read it, if we haven't read it ourselves, when we sometimes have heard it, we will sometimes, some preachers will often quote, myself included, that God said that we can speak things that be not. No, it was being written that God spoke, Lord have mercy. God spoke things into existence that was not. But when we get into God, we are of the lineage of Elijah. Elijah shut up heaven because he sounded like God. We're made in his likeness, in his image, have his characteristic traits. So that means we ought to look and sound like God. And when we look and sound like God, the hand of God is at, Lord have mercy, it's at our disposal, and the Spirit of God recognizes the authority of God, even if it doesn't come from God himself, because God is in us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we don't even use that name right there, but the Bible declares, I believe it was 1:21 Matthew, that says that Emmanuel means that God is with, Lord have mercy, us. So I know all these things. We've been hearing them and saying them, but now it's time for us to live it. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians. I'm going to try and teach. I ain't going to try and do all that preaching. Amen. That's a lie. I just lied in front of y'all. Amen. God forgive me. We preach. We lie all the time. Amen. We don't mean it, but we lie all the time. Especially that one said, give me 5 more minutes. And that was 40 minutes ago. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll start with the 13th verse. And it reads, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. 14 reads, stand. Let me read the end of 13. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breast, this is going to get real good in a minute, y'all, having on the breastplate of righteousness. 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord have mercy. 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 17 reads, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me read 18. We're going to go over a few of these. Amen. 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lord have mercy. This here is about to get real good. Y'all follow me. Now, when we read this, and to be honest, it sounds like people are preparing for a battle. And depending on which Bible you have, in the description over it, it says victory for the saints, or how we can overcome. Victory, us being able to walk in victory. And Paul starts off saying, 12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I'll pause right there because we make Paul out to be a liar. Because down what we just read, he said, pray supplication in the spirit, Lord have mercy. We try and fight spiritual battles naturally, which is impossible.
Come on.
I spoke to a friend of mine and I said, you know, I said, to be honest, and this is my take on it, the revelation God gave me. We can't fight in the spirit. Lord have mercy. We don't leave here and then transform in the spirit and go war. No, what we do, we get ourselves together mentally that we can connect to God in the spirit and he'll fight our battles. Lord have mercy. And I do understand that we can pray here in Grand Prairie and affect somebody in our Lord have mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because we connected to God in the spirit. And
yeah.
Because God is omnipresent, we connect to God here in Grand Prairie and our results, and it will manifest in Arlington. So I was just trying to get him to understand if we don't go, if we don't start off with the right mindset, we already walk in defeat. We cannot defeat our enemy naturally.
Amen.
Because what happens is, since now we are attacking people, Lord have mercy.
Amen.
We haven't matured enough to where we don't attack the spirit in the person. We attack the spirit. We attack the person.
Mm-hmm.
See, once we mature in love, we know how to love, Lord have mercy. We know how to love somebody that is just wicked and evil. However, we don't condone the wickedness that's in them.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Prophet, that don't sound right. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Check this out now. Now, if we are a friend to the world, it bothers God, but yet he gave his son to... Okay, all right, all right. He knows how to love, and we must be in him to love properly. That's why we still have, I'm only going to be in for a second, that's why we still have racism among the churches.
Yeah, come on.
How is your God love and my God love, but we don't love each other? Because we're trying to love how we know how to love, and we love under certain conditions. So don't come around me and say you got this agape love. Who a Greek man tried to define what God loves? Lord have mercy. I love bothering people. That is simply a definition of someone trying to describe God's love, and he realized that God's love is unconditional.
Yeah.
God's love is unconditional. We love under certain conditions. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
If you make me mad, I probably don't love you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, if you step on my toes, I probably won't love you. If you look at me wrong, I want to do something to you. That's not God's love.
Yeah, come on, prophet.
But we quote and say, I love you with the love of God. That is a lie. Not that it can't be attained or achieved. I'm talking about us that do not resemble the image and the likeness of God, because all people think nowadays that if as long as we talk godly, we fit in. Oh, okay. So he says, with your mouth, you speak godly, but your heart is okay.
Come on.
It ain't far from me, but I want to use the word wicked, sis. Yeah. Your mouth speak good things, but your heart produce evil. Okay. So how can we completely walk in victory if we're not fully armed?
Yeah.
I think 13 says, wherefore take unto you, let me finish with 12 and I'll read down there. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, which is everything that is influenced by the fallen angel Lucifer. We know him now as Satan and the devil. How can we fight something naturally that we physically cannot see?
Uh-huh.
Some of us be so deep in the spirit, and we forget that it's going to take the spirit to conquer that spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Them that worship God in, Lord have mercy, must worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, them that respect God must understand that we only connect to him in the spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. We can't reach the heavens naturally, but spiritually we can. We have to understand that this is a spiritual walk. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Not by sight. 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. The key word in there that we'll use to move along with is withstand. That word simply means to stand against or oppose with firm determination. Our first step in walking in complete victory is knowing how to stand against opposition. Knowing how to stand against things that will try and come to take us out of position in God. But look at the attitude that we must have. You must have determination.
Amen.
I know this may not sound right, and depending on how we look at it, we cannot serve God with a weak mind.
Amen.
Makes more sense now when Paul says, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ, a victorious mind, a mind that is going to stay on God and learn how to be successful in his will. Because the reason I said a weak mind, I'm talking about a mind that is double minded. Lord have mercy. A person that is unstable. The Bible lets us know, and that was Jesus, brother, that you should not, I thought it was just harsh when I first read it, you should not expect to receive anything.
Yeah.
I think that's harsh because sometimes we're just naive or ignorant to the fact of how we need to be, but we got to grow.
Yeah.
If your faith is still the grain of a seed, of a mustard seed, then you haven't grown, and that's just disrespect unto God.
Come on, amen.
Come on.
Because that very seed is also described in Scripture that the kingdom of God is just like that seed.
Yeah,
but it grows, Lord have mercy. And when it grows, it houses all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So if you see around here quoting that Scripture and there's no growth in your life, then you need to check your source. Amen.
Jesus, amen.
So it says about standing against opposition with a determination in the evil day. When we look at these things, some of us are immediately thinking about just how the world is now. We got people doing all kind of crazy things, but this is an individual talk. This is an individual conversation here. These are things that bother your faith. Oh, have mercy. If it's not good, then it's evil, and if it's evil, it probably comes to distract your faith.
Yeah.
We're going to find out that every victory, every win is categorized by our faith. It starts from our faith. Every victory that we'll ever have in life, it starts from our faith. Okay, stay there. You don't have to go. Abraham, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Abraham believed in God and he was deemed righteous. Because he simply believed. Well, we don't walk in victory because we walk in doubt. Now, we say faith, we quote scriptures, but our posture doesn't resemble what we've just spoken. Therefore, we fool ourselves. Let no man deceive himself to think that he is more than what he is. This is Paul talking. I think Paul is a great example of what we're talking about because before Paul was filled with the Spirit of God, Paul already had a zeal and the knowledge of the law, the Word of God. But there was no power. Lord have mercy. There was no power. So you can know the Bible. Lord have mercy. You can be great at quoting Scripture, but unless there is power in you, you are not an overcomer.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You don't overcome until you experience something, and that experience brings on a testimony. Lord,
yeah.
Somebody just walk with me for a few more minutes. You have to realize that there's some necessary things that must take place in your life for you to experience God. Blame it on God in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. He said, I created you to be my witnesses. And that means that you're going to see some things, go through some things, and do some things for you to be credible to say that God is Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is who he said he was, and he is who he will be on tomorrow. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
14 says, supposed to be teaching prophet. 14 says, stand. That word means to take or maintain a specific position or posture. I think we've all suffered from a slump posture and our head hanging low, especially when something isn't going on properly in our life.
Amen.
I think that's a normal reaction and an emotion to us being let down or just sad. Amen. But when we're on this walk, see, if everything depends on our growth. If we never grow, then we never grow in the strength and the knowledge to realize that I could go through fire and don't smell like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I can be in the water and it won't overtake me.
Yeah.
But that comes when we mature in the word.
Yeah.
I was brought up in church and we had our ABCs of the gospel, A through Z, and we had to remember them.
Yep.
But not until I got older did those scriptures start making Lord help us.
Yeah.
I think A was all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And a whole lot of us hide behind that because we don't want to grow. Shall grace abound where there is sin? I love that. I taught on that one time. And the answer, see, nobody really answered. The answer is yes. But the matter of it, will you continue in sin if you have a way of escape? Because I had to look at this thing and say, wait a minute, because we're so quick to say no. Matter of fact, God found us, most of us, when we was in our Lord era.
Come on.
We were in sin when grace found us.
Yeah.
But Paul has said, since you are now found and made aware that your life is sinful, will you just let grace leave his hand out? God forbid. Wait a minute. If God is who I'm really wanting, and God has his hand stretched out, why am I not grabbing it?
Yeah.
Because we think that only if we have a peace of God, you know, a peace of God, we'll do you for so long because God is just good.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. We all stay right there. I promised myself I wasn't going to. We all stay right there. Because I said a peace of God, and we do this. I'm going to the parable of the sower. I just want to read it something because the peace of God is great, but you need all of them to be sustained.
Yeah. Amen.
It says, and some fell on stony ground. This is 5, verse 5, chapter 4 of St. Mark. And some fell on stony ground where they had not much earth.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately it sprang up. The good thing about the word of God, that it really don't need earth to produce. Us being the earth, being made from the earth, it only benefits us as if our ground is fertile. It didn't have much earth, but the Bible lets us know that the seed still produced.
Yeah.
Sprang up, but because it didn't have any depth, because there was no maturity, because there was not a willingness to till the ground. We're in a state of mind now with some of the people that they don't have a willingness to till their ground. But they so have a discernment that they can tell which preacher is real or not. Well, y'all something else. How can you tell if a preacher is real when the one who we put up there right next to Christ, the Apostle Paul, killed folks that had a Jesus experience? The letter killeth, and those that hide behind the letter cannot identify with the spirit. Okay, all right. That's why folk get mad, elder, because of the spirit that you have. They try to ruffle your feathers. You try to stay calm all the time, I know. And you do for the most part, because you pride yourself on being in control of your emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That means you operate in temperance. One of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Some folk don't carry any of them, and yet they say they're full of them, which is other truth, but you are not tilling your ground so that they can show. Amen. Amen. Oh, folk don't took you for granted long enough. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, thank God for what he is doing in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we understand that it is very important for us to not just have the word, which will produce on itself, but we need to benefit from it growing. Amen.
Amen.
It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth. I should have started off and said that we're going to talk about the brain, the heart, the stomach, the mouth, the arms, and the feet, central figures of our body. This is what we are looking at now. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt. I was going to call it the pelvic region because all works down there, but it's more of the stomach. Amen. The stomach. And we know out of our stomach can and should flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
So look at what it says. It says, having your loins girt about with truth. And I thought about 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved or to be accepted by God. A workman who would not be ashamed to rightly Lord, let me say it, Sister Brown, that can truthfully distribute the word of God.
Amen.
Who will not be reluctant. All the studying you're doing, and yet you're reluctant because you are ashamed, because you get around folk who only speak godly, but you've been in the presence of God, and you won't dare distribute the word of God truthfully. Lord, have mercy. He said, we just be quoting scriptures and we get around folks because, you know, they apostle, archbishop, and they're the super master prophet. And I don't want to say nothing. Well, let me tell you something.
Prophet.
Everybody did it wrong.
Amen.
Super master prophet.
Amen.
You'd be amazed what we don't heard of. Super master prophet. And see, what that title represents, you don't tell me nothing. I only hear from God.
Yeah. Come on.
That's what we mess up at. Because God speaks through his people.
Amen.
God will speak to you through the TV. God will definitely speak to you through his word. But then you get around folks and now you want to be hot. Now Christ said, I won't speak nothing unless. So Christ was saying that I got a continued connection. But he also said, let the children come unto me. Don't stop nobody from coming unto me. Some preachers don't want people really getting close to God because they want to be the only God that
come
they know.
On.
I know preachers
come
like
on.
That.
Come on.
And to be honest, many are not filled with the Spirit of God because you've taken on another identity. Amen.
Amen.
Having your stomach girt about with truth. I like this one. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, which signifies the breastplate of belief. I talked about it earlier. Abraham was righteous because he believed. So we got to have confidence in our heart on this walk. Lord have mercy. Belief means to say a habit of mind in which we trust or confidence, which a trust or confidence is placed in some person or thing. So while we are walking, our hearts must be confident that God will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after we take a few steps on that notion that we'll realize that I can do all things because of the God in me.
Amen.
All things are possible to them that believe. See, we begin, Lord have mercy, after a while, we begin to sound like God. And some people are afraid to sound like God, one mainly being because that means their life got to now be shaped differently.
Amen.
Come on.
The other one, just for some odd reason, they don't think that they are capable of sounding like God, but we got to be very careful because we'll quote that the power of life and death is in our, okay. We'll look at what we do, but we just won't put those things together. Live by his faith, speak as we are led, and then we'll be able to revive the people. says, and having your feet shod with the preparation. Having your feet equipped and ready to deliver the good news of Christ, get this, sister, with peace. Lord have mercy. Why are we debating and arguing what the Bible says and we're not preaching Christ with peace? We're spending more time, Elder, God has given you a revelation that I probably wouldn't even understand. That's what folk can't grasp. I can share a revelation, may be able to share a revelation with you that probably don't make any sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
God does those things to see if we are really about kingdom business. Because when we speak kingdom lingo, that don't mean we'll understand everything, but we'll know that we are in line with God.
Uh-huh.
The kingdom agenda is the same for all of us. But depending on where he sends us, our assignment may be different. So sometimes our revelation is different. Lord have mercy. But why would we shun revelation? Just because we've never heard it before. These last few days, Ralph, I've heard some stuff that I've never heard before from the same scriptures that I've read before. And they'll focus in. They'll know what they're talking about. Some people only read four, and that's fine to have an understanding of what they just read. Some people want to know how do I live and how does this relate to me now? That's what revelation is, to revelate the word so it makes sense to how it can revelate to you now. This stuff don't make no sense. This stuff was written years ago. How does it benefit me now?
Amen.
But because it worked for them then, it ought to work for us now. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God. And who better else to listen to than the Apostle Paul, who persecuted, harassed, and killed folk because of Christ. After Paul's conversion and his testimony was shared, Paul said, not only am I willing to be arrested and handcuffed and bound, but I am willing to die for this gospel. Wait a minute. Now things have changed. How come things don't change in our life after we say that we have a Jesus experience? Because Paul told you that when you're in Christ, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. So how I used to be, I am no more. And Lord have mercy. Everything that I learned before I experienced Christ, I count it as dung. Go and use it for fertilizer. Then he comes back to tell some people that just thought it was all that. If anybody could boast about their attributes and accolades, it's through the Lord have mercy. Boy, Lord have mercy. That's when it gets dangerous, that when you have the knowledge of God and the power of God, then folks want to kill you.
Come on.
They won't bother nobody.
Come on.
Paul, who better? Paul, no. Paul had the knowledge of God, but he didn't have the power of God. And look what he did. He held the clothes of them that stoned my cousin Stephen. They should have had in the Bible all that writing Paul did. They should have had a letter where he was saying, I'm sorry for how I was. Yeah, yeah. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Paul, why are you sorry? I'm just being honest, because some folk get in God but won't go back and tell somebody they're sorry.
Amen.
That ought to be a conviction in you. Sometimes you can't get to a person and it may be in your heart, but God will make it to where you're able, they don't know. I'm just saying, that was a bit of a timeout. I just wonder, because Paul did a whole lot of writing, and surely somewhere somebody would have put in his Bible that Paul was very sorry about some of the things that he done. All we know that Paul ran for Christ after his conversion. Amen. And to some, that's good enough, and that's good enough for us. But I just, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Paul, say, Jesus, can I just have 1 minute with Paul? Paul, you held the clothes of my uncles who stole their nephew. What are you sorry about that? We think when we get in Christ that we don't have to show any remorse or compassion, and that is the essence of God.
Come on.
He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he needs to repent, because God said it. He is the king. He created a counter decree for us. Lord have mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Only the king can create a counter decree, because he can't go back on his word.
Yeah.
So he is very strategic in what he says, but when he says something, he'll create a whole other decree. He saved us. The second decree or the counter decree was when he sent Christ. Okay, I ain't gonna bother y'all. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield. This is what I like right here. the shield, something that protects or defends. Your faith is your defense. Not your tone, your verbiage, not your look, not your weapon. Your faith is. Defense against spiritual wickedness. We just talked about that. Let me read it again. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And this is where the arms come in. I thought about when I was preparing, you know, when something comes our way, if you play ball, baseball in particular, and that ball came up, either you'll do this or you'll do this. You don't want to shield your face. So even though it's talking about a shield, and we're thinking of a metal or something made of strong material that will block, as it says, fiery darts, sometimes the only shield we have is our arms. But this is a defense against spiritual wickedness, evil thoughts, lust, unlawful passions, and temptations that come to lure you away from your position in God. Everything has an intent and a purpose to get you out of position.
Amen.
When you are out of position, you no longer have that power that you need to overcome. That's why when many of us are by the wayside, it takes those of us that are doing right to come and say, "Here, let me help you up."
Yeah, amen.
Sometimes I'm going to need your strength, Reverend. It don't matter how strong I am now, tomorrow I may be weak.
Yeah.
And when we understand that, in other words, today is my day, tomorrow is yours.
Yeah.
I think I'm strong all the time, but I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and it may be overwhelming. That's why it's so important that I am fully covered. Because I may have a victory over here, but because I'm not fully covered, I lose over here. That's what I talk about, walking in complete victory. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 17 talks about the helmet of salvation. We bring it on home. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword. The helmet of salvation is remembering memories, thoughts. I like this, of being saved, having been saved, and the thought of assurance of that I will be saved. Did y'all catch that? When you have on the helmet or the thoughts and the memories, you know, that's I think Ty Tribbett said, same God that did it before, he'll do it again. Same God. We don't often walk with that helmet on because now we wonder if God is going to do it. Peter goes into the hinder part of the ship. This is a revelation God gave me, and I've messed up quite a few preachers because of it seems to be out of context, because Scripture tells us that he that keepeth Israel neither sleep nor He that keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber.
I'm all preaching.
Wait.
Go ahead.
He that keepeth us does not go to sleep, nor does he fall drowsy.
Yeah.
So how do you find God? I feel God. How do you find God sleep on a pillow? Naturally.
Come on.
Lord have mercy. The Bible says that they find him in the hinder part of the ship. H-I-N-D-E-R, which also means to also pronounce hinder. Hinder.
Yeah.
He got on the boat as he was teaching. Even as he was teaching. Lord, go back and read it. It's in chapter 4, because he tells them, verse 11 of chapter 4, it is given to you to know the mysteries of this gospel. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So the Bible says that they took him even as he was in the ship.
Yeah.
I love this right here, because when you go back up, I think it's 36, 37, you see even is mentioned twice. The first even represents the day of the dawning of the day. The time is changing.
Yeah.
The second even represents a continuance. So Christ got on the boat teaching. Lord have mercy. He got on the boat still talking, but because he mentioned to them, let's go on the other side, they assumed church was over.
Come on.
Okay, get to your point, Prophet. Peter goes down. Look at what Peter make any sense, it ought to make some sense now because this is in scripture. Peter goes down, the Bible says, spirit and shakes them and wakes them up and say, Master, do you care if we perish? Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy. Oh, boy, I'm about to throw something at somebody. You mean to tell me you asked the Son of God who came, who decked himself in earthly garments to come down and buy back a wicked people who was willing to be the sacrificial lamb, who was the tree of life, and you're asking him, do you care if I live?
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy.
Come on.
You are dead.
What's wrong?
He gets up and rebukes the wind. When we rebuke something, Shapira, he's my children, I've rebuked them almost all the time, brother. And when we rebuke something, we don't approve of what we've seen or heard. The Bible says that he got up and rebuked the wind. In essence, he say, who told you? Lord have mercy. That ain't gonna bother y'all. He got up and asked the wind, I did not tell you to blow. Because after he calmed the sea, look at what the folk he had just fed over 5,000 people with almost nothing.
Yeah.
Why does it take us to keep seeing God work and we won't believe him?
Come on.
It was y'all that said, man, we can't feed all these people. He said, sit the people down because I'm about to do something that you probably never understand. And I'm telling you, I'm waiting on this revelation. The simplistic thing is God. Now, how could he have transformed all of that food and nobody noticed? Good God Almighty. They should have, you know what, to be honest, let me finish. They should have been so at awe of the fact that what he just did, nobody should have ate nothing. Everybody sat down, they heard him pray, and not everybody eating. Nobody, while they eating, fish and breakfast. Wait a minute. How this man did this?
Yeah.
Right. But the disciples saw that because they took up evidence.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
We are his disciples who have the evidence, but yet we asking God and we dare, I won't see it. How can he be asleep when he can't sleep? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. He is telling us before. He is saying, I don't even have. Where was he? God Almighty. Because we begin to read and look at this thing natural. We don't win unless we connect in the spirit. He spoke to a fish. Well, I ain't gonna bother y'all. We can read it out here. The helmet of salvation. Now remember, again, that helmet represents memories. How you forget, sis, I'm gonna bother you just for a second, of how God is, because he already brought you out and now you're faced with a dilemma and you're worried if God's gonna do it. That is, of course those moments don't feel right, but those are moments that God thrives in. Don't you realize sometimes he goes to the enemy, our enemy goes to God just like he did with Uncle Joe? I'm finna show you how your daughter gonna do. She on her way, she couldn't pray, she couldn't ask you something, but I'm finna show you that she gonna doubt you. And God being only one way, now my daughter gonna stand upright. You know why he can vouch for you? Good God Almighty, because it is him that is him.
Yeah.
Are we getting it? Greater is he. All we have to do sometimes, let him just fall back and let God work.
Come on,
that's why he was able to tell the enemy, you consider Job? There's so much of me in Job, you ain't, obviously you haven't noticed. Go and bother Job. Lord have mercy. Then we got to see the spiritual and the natural side of Job because Job's wife even said, man, curse God. Job cursed the day that he was born. And as we continue to read Job, he started changing his mind. And everything started changing about God. Though he slay, Lord, that ain't gonna bother y'all. Though he slay me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the Bible says that he said, and I also will maintain my way before him. Any kind of way, whatever happens to me, if he seen me and caught me when I was standing up, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm gonna go through standing up. Though he slay me. Well, we'll work that scripture there. And then when something happens, oh Lord, why are you slaying me? Sometimes our faith is on trial. because the jury and the prosecutor has already claimed that we won't last. Lord have mercy. And the judge, who is actually biased on our behalf, he don't say nothing. He let our defendant talk for us. Lord have mercy. He let the defense attorney talk for us, because really him and the defense attorney they work together anyway. And that's why sometimes, that's why all the times, unless you represent yourself, they don't want the defendant talking. Yeah. Because sometimes when we talk, we put ourselves in more position. Okay, Lord have mercy. So let's start letting God talk for us.
Yeah.
He's talking for us to him. Okay, oh, Father. If he is the defense attorney, which is the word of God, making our case known before the Spirit of God, he's talking to himself. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, that is tough.
18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying, making requests known unto God. Supplications, however, are a continual coming to God until the Lord answers that prayer. Lord have mercy. I'm challenging you right now, sis, because you got to listen, and you know you can touch it, and God's going to do it. But just like St. Luke 18:1, the Bible says, hear what the unjust judge say. Well, 18:1 say, men ought to always pray. But the story is about my auntie, the widow, who we don't know what she wanted, but all we do know is she got what she needed from a man who didn't care nothing about. Lord have mercy. And the Bible says that if the unjust judge did this, how much more would I visit my children? Paraphrasing. In other words, if we keep on coming to God with supplication, not just saying, God, I know you're going to do it. God, I need this done in my life. No, you go back and say, God, I see this thing still here. I don't understand why it ain't happened, but I'm going to come again the same time tomorrow. And when I come again the same time tomorrow, I expect it to be done. You go again the next day, it's still right there. You got to understand that he's someone that suffers along with us. I'm going to see if my daughter going to come 7 days in a row, Lord have mercy. Sometimes we got to go 7 days in a row because it completes the thing. And on your eighth day, Lord have mercy, it's a new beginning, because we got to keep pushing. And the Lord says, we got to keep on coming. He says, we got to have a spirit and an attitude of determination.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, we get tired. Amen. But then you heard Kevin Gates make a song, I don't get tired. Wait a minute. God, Lord. He's a religious man. However, he does what he does. My point is, here, he is someone that may not be living how we choose to live for God. And he is telling us, I don't get tired. Lord have mercy. And here we are. We don't wrote songs, no way, tired. Lord, I'm tired running on the riverside. And here we are to represent the strength of God. And we let people in the world say things that we ought to be saying.
Yeah.
You know, even though we are tired, we real tired, our feet hurt, and we can stand on them same feet with our back straight and our posture off and say, I don't get tired.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I am standing in God, and I need God to move on my behalf. And I found that all I got to do is stand. The Bible says all you got to do is stand. And while you're standing, prepare yourself, because you're going to be put in position to witness and reckon, to be able to recognize, or should I say, to be able to testify before people of how good it is. How good God is. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You're good. Just let me go ahead.
Amen.
Let me go ahead and finish. It says, supplication in the Spirit, watching, waiting. Come out there and say, but they that wait on the Lord. That but is so important, because if you hadn't read the verse right above it, it wouldn't make no sense. But, because it says that the strong, the youth don't faint. Them that are strong, everybody that got strength, I'm paraphrasing, don't get weak, they gonna faint. But it says, then it gets down and say, but they that wait, Lord have mercy. Remember, the race is not given to the strong nor the swift, but he that endureth to, but they that wait. Yeah. That doesn't mean you're not gonna sweat and you're not gonna feel vulnerable, but they that wait, that don't mean folk ain't gonna ridicule you and harass you because of your faith, but they that wait. And while you are waiting, you're standing in anticipation and expectancy that God probably come right now. You know, if he don't come, he gonna come on time. And him coming on time, I think we ought to realize that God is in time and on time. So whenever we need God, his presence is there. Sometimes the solution to the problem is just him rising up in you to change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
To change the atmosphere. Yeah. We have the ability to shift things, Lord have mercy. We can call things that was not, Lord have mercy, into existence if we just stand on the faith, got our helmet on, remembering that I am in God. I am somebody. I was strategically made, creatively created in his image, and I can do all things.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
There you go. He said,
hey.
So we can't do it unless we through Christ.
Yeah.
And look who wrote that, Paul. Lord have mercy. Who better else to know?
Yeah.
But they that wait, and we see a word of perseverance. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance is continued effort to do or achieve something. I like this. Despite difficulties, failures, and opposition. Some of us give up the fight when we are faced with difficulties and it seems like we are failing and we are up in opposition of or someone is opposing of us. We don't walk in victory.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, this is at the end after we are girded, after we are fully armored. We still got to talk. Pray, and we still got to have an attitude of determination and keep on moving, because adverse situations and display no evilness is going to come.
Amen.
But if we have on all of that, we know without a doubt, we just put on our whole victory attire. We didn't miss our shoes, we didn't miss our coat. Everything is on. Now we gotta know, you gotta realize that it's really not us doing anything. In 2 Chronicles 21, this is another one that we always, 21, believe in the Lord God, so he'll be established, believe in his prophets, so he'll prosper. But when he tells him to get ready for the battle, Jehoshaphat and them. Get ready for the battle, but you ain't fighting.
Yeah.
When you read down in that chapter, they got ready, honestly, to go and collect the spoil. Lord, have somebody in case that. God is telling you to get ready for your reward.
Jesus,
he tells them to get ready that you're not fighting. He made it so that they killed themselves and left all the valuable. That's in scripture.
Yes.
So all we got to do is get dressed. Sometimes we have to say nothing. Just show up. Fight already won. That's why you hear folks. Honestly, those of us that are in Christ cannot repeat what somebody created that was not in God said. I'm going to tell you that favor ain't fair. That's how they say it. Favor isn't fair, but it's do my vocabulary right. Favor is fair to those he give it to.
Amen.
We often say it is out of respect, but after a while, when you grow in the respect of God, you thank God, you're grateful. When we say we're not worthy, but then we say we thank God for Jesus. Have you ever given somebody something out of the kindness of your heart, and then they act like it was nothing? Or they show ungratefulness? It does something to you then.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all walk with me. Walk with me. I know we've been trained to say we're not worthy, and we get that. But he's seen worth in you. How do you show respect to God? You don't keep saying, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, I am.
Our mindset must shift. He gave his only begotten son for you, a valuable and precious gift, who he thought it not robbery, though he was equal with God, to come for you, and you say, I'm not worthy. No, we got to shift that verbiage. That don't mean we go around saying, you know, this and that. No, you show gratefulness to God with your attitude, and you feel his pride that you have been saved. Lord have mercy. Not being prideful or arrogant or puffed up, but you take pride that he saved me. I can't say that I'm not worthy. I know how I was.
Yeah.
That's why I think, I know that I'm somebody in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody loved me when I didn't love myself.
Amen.
Somebody seen something in me when I couldn't see nothing in myself. Oh, I feel good that he loved me.
Yeah.
Thank God that you found me worthy.
Yeah.
I know how we've been taught. I used to say, man, I'm not worthy, even worthy of his grace. Wait a minute. If Ray took the time to come see by me when I was in sin, at least I should have the audacity to listen to Grace.
Yeah.
We tend not to go anywhere and waste time. And when we go somewhere, we like to think that our time is valuable. Come on, y'all. It's valuable.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have to do it, right? That's true. He did not have to do it, but he did. So I'm not going to say I'm not grateful. I'm going to show him that I am grateful. I'm not going to jump on nobody who says that either. Because we got to grow. Because if you're not grateful, then you can't be too confident that you got power. Lord have mercy. Because you ain't finna soft talk nothing into existence when you're in a battle. Like, you're going to put a little bass in that voice.
Amen.
You're going to put a little stern in that voice. And listen, the breastplate of righteousness, you got to be. The Bible says that Abraham, who, we getting ready to get out here, Abraham, Romans, I think it's 4:19, it says, who against hope believed in hope. That thing bothered me. I say, wait a minute, against hope, that means that he opposed it.
Yeah.
But ain't hard on granddaddy Abraham. He don't know what we know now. We got everything that they had, and then some. It was challenging for him to believe. It was against hope. What the Bible says, believe in hope. It was challenging for him to believe because it didn't make no sense, but he believed anyway. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Come on.
Can we get to that point where it makes absolutely no sense?
But I'm going to do it anyway.
But we're going to believe anyway.
Amen.
Yeah.
To be honest, you don't disrespect God when you say you're not worthy. You disrespect God when you don't believe him.
Yeah.
When you doubt God, it makes him upset. That is a disrespect. Why? Mama gonna do this. I'ma do it. If them children keep asking you, are you gonna do it? Oh, we ain't happy when they come back. My son do it all the time. Yes, chef, we gonna do it. He won't talk about it until it's done.
Yeah.
No, I said I was going to do it. I need you to believe it. We do believe, but we get anxious. Be not anxious for nothing. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I ain't
going
to put your hands together. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about unstaggering faith. Amen.
For complaining. Trust in you, Lord. I will trust.
You